I want to share for just about 30 minutes or so. I want to revisit a teaching that I've taught in our house, but it's timely because I feel like we're in a place where there's a lot of movement, there's a lot of shifting that's taking place in individuals' lives and for us as a ministry as we continue to press into everything, say everything, everything that God has for us. And so some time ago, in my time of study and just talking to the Lord, this phrase is one that we've kind of made foundational for us. But I want to revisit it, and I want to just speak some things into the atmosphere and into you today. And that is walking confidently, consistently, and courageously in kingdom authority. Walking confidently, say that. Consistently and courageously in kingdom authority. I've noticed, I get communications, of course, regularly from a lot of different people, but I've noticed that for Pastor Nina, when she sends an email or she signs off, she always signs off with that, walking confidently, consistently, and courageously in kingdom authority. I believe it's something that needs to be part of our DNA. It's just part of who I am. It needs to be part of who you are, walking confidently, consistently, and courageously in kingdom authority. And I want to just reference, well, let me just reference the scripture. I won't turn there, but it's in Matthew 28, verse 18, where Jesus says, all authority has been given to me. All authority has been given to me. And then he says, therefore, go forth and make disciples of all men, meaning that the authority that I have, I've given it to you now. Say delegated authority. As you and I are walking out our life and we are living it out in God, we should be walking in that place of authority. Sometimes, though, we don't do it confidently, we don't do it consistently, or we don't do it courageously. The word courage that we share for our house is this, the attitude of facing and dealing with anything. Say anything.
Anything.
Come on, say anything.
Anything.
That's perceived as dangerous, difficult, painful, or different, instead of withdrawing from it. Now, the truth is, all of us have lived our lives in certain seasons where we've withdrawn from things that we really should have been addressing. Okay, I didn't mean to be looking at you, Yvonne, when I said that, but you know. But that's all of us. And the truth be known, even today, if we are not intentional, we'll still do that. I don't mind telling you that the acquisition of this building and all the stuff that we've dealt with, and thank God for his grace and thank God for the advancements and his hand is on what we're doing, but there are certain moments where I actually wanted to look a different direction.
Yes, sir.
But you can't do that and fulfill the purpose and destiny for which you were born. Every now and then you can just maybe close your eyes for a minute, kind of regroup yourself, but you need to step right back into it. Say consistently. Come on, say confidently.
Confidently.
Courageously.
Courageously.
The attitude of facing and dealing with anything perceived as dangerous, difficult, painful, or different instead of withdrawing from it. It's in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32, and I believe this is from the Message Bible. It reads like this. It says, remember those days after you had received the light? It says, when you endured in a great conflict full of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution, and other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated, said you suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. So do not throw away your confidence. Say, don't throw away your confidence.
Don't throw away your confidence.
Come on, look at somebody. Say, don't throw away your confidence.
Don't throw away your confidence.
Says, it will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised you. How many would say, God, I believe God has made me some promises? I would think that everybody in here, I mean, if you don't believe you have any promises, just hold up the book. Just find a Bible. That's the promises of God for you and I. The more you get into that book, the more you find the promises that are there. That after you've done the will of the Father, you might receive the promise. It says, for in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith. I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. Now, I want you to understand that in this writing, it's not just talking about purpose and destiny. Excuse me. It's talking about all of life. It's talking about all of life. Because the challenge that the early church faced, and particularly those who walked with Jesus, is that once he was gone, and I'm talking about now he was crucified, resurrected, walked among them, spoke to them concerning the kingdom, but then he has ascended. And now it became their responsibility, even as it is our responsibility, to make disciples of men. And so they had to regroup, having been with Jesus, but now he's not here in bodily form, but he's here in person of Holy Spirit. There had to be this shifting in how they thought about it. So for many of them, and that's why the writer writes this the way that he does, is that there were many who did draw back. There were many who decided that once Jesus was gone, this has gotten too hard. This has gotten too challenging. This is a bit much. Now, I enjoyed it when Jesus was here because he really had some cool things to say, and he always was giving us something to eat. And I mean, it just seemed to be a good spot to be in. But now that's changed. And now they're trying to kill us for being associated with him. Well, I don't want you to get it twisted. That same spirit that was trying to kill them then is the same spirit in operation now, trying to kill us. This is not a gloom and doom message. It's really about walking confidently, consistently, and courageously in kingdom authority. And so it's in the company of the saints that we are able to receive the strength that we need in order to continue to persevere, to keep going. Yes, we want to invite people to come to church, but witness to them, disciple them right where you're at, and then bring them to meet the rest of the family. That's really how it's supposed to work. Does that mean that we don't minister salvation? Absolutely not. We do. Does it mean we don't baptize? We baptize. Matter of fact, we're getting ready to put a baptismal in here now. So you can get all your friends who need to be baptized, or you want to be baptized, because we're going to take a day and just have a day of baptisms. Men, any of y'all want to be baptized, get it cleared from up there and make your way on down. But to walk confidently, consistently, and courageously, it takes intentionality. You must believe God. You must believe his word. You must believe his word concerning you. And you must believe his ability to bring his word to pass. You've got to believe his word, and you've got to believe his word concerning you. As a matter of fact, let me just read a few scriptures here that help bring context to this. Sometimes the wonderful thing about technology is you don't even have to flip the pages. You can just touch a few things and be right there. But it's in 2 Chronicles 20, and you all know this passage very well. It's in 2 Chronicles 20 where Jehoshaphat and the people of God, they are now being assaulted, accosted. They're about to go to war with three nations that are coming against them. He recognizes we have no power against them. And so they go before God, and God lets them know that you don't have to worry about this battle. It's not yours to fight. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. But it's in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 20, that he speaks something that really is the foundation for them moving forward. It says this: they rose early in the morning and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. It says, and when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, now listen, he said, listen to me, O Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Put your trust in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Put your trust in his prophets and succeed. What he's saying there is, put your trust in what he has said. Put your trust in his word. He says that, and then he goes on and it says, he appointed singers, and they started out. And it says, as the singers, the moment they began to sing, God set ambushments. I want to say to you that the moment you believe and say yes and amen to God's word, things begin to shift right then. Things begin to move right then. The key for you and I is that we stay consistent, that we remain confident, and when need be, courageous in our pursuit of the fulfillment of that word. There is not one person who's living the life that God intended for them who hasn't had to contend for it. That's every one of us. This is not a cakewalk, y'all. This is not a cakewalk. It's in Isaiah 55 and verse 8. It says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. It says, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, he says, so my word be which goes forth from my mouth, it will not return to me empty. He's saying what I've said will come to pass. If God has spoken a word to you prophetically, and it is God, it's going to come to pass. Every word written in the scriptures concerning you and I can and will come to pass. The question is, will you remain confident in that word? Will you stay consistent with him? And will you be courageous when you need to be courageous, facing and dealing with anything perceived as dangerous, difficult, painful, or different, instead of withdrawing from it? Two of those words that I think are key for us is difficult and different. Because often, when God's word comes to you and I, it's going to be a difficult word sometime. And sometimes, you'll find that word to be very different, meaning it's different than your situation. For many of us, our challenge in walking with God in a place of kingdom authority really has to do with the word that we hear. And for whatever reason, we take the word that we hear and we kind of gauge it based on where our life is right now. Does it match? Does it fit? And God is saying, the word I'm giving you is to change your life, not assimilate into your life. And part of the challenge for many of us as believers is that we live our life out that way. So we have to be mindful that we don't reject that word, that we don't resist that word, that we don't reduce that word. Because many of us live our lives out of a reduced word and wonder why we never see the fulfillment of the whole word, when in fact some things are just going to be difficult. I've shared with you one of the prophetic words I've received years ago in a service where that word came to me, and the gentleman was speaking, and he was speaking of all these wonderful things God wanted to do, and God's going to open doors, and there's some doors you're going to have to open yourself. He said, and the difficulty you're about to go through. Now, how many of you know that's about the time you want to say, I don't know if you're really hearing God or not. But the truth is, he was hearing God. And it got difficult. But I remained consistent. And I remained confident in that God was doing something, even though I didn't like how it felt, didn't like how it looked. But you've got to believe God. He says, my word goes forth and he's out of my mouth. It will not return to me empty. It will accomplish. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. See, so often God sends a word and you have to realize he has his own sovereign intent concerning that word. The matter for which I sent it, not the matter for which you think I sent it, but for the way he sent it. And so there's always, for all of us in seasons of our lives, there's this adjustment that needs to take place. You see, when we read in Luke chapter 1, and you can read that in your own time, I don't want to read it right now, but it has to do with the birth of Jesus, it has to do with Mary and Joseph. All that generation, all were waiting for the Messiah, but nobody really counted the cost of that Messiah coming and how it would impact lives. None more than Mary, who was engaged to be married, but now is found to be pregnant. I love the sovereignty of God. I love the sovereignty of God. I love that God really is in charge, and he works all things. So he connects Mary to Joseph, who's of the lineage of David, and then has the government call for taxation so that everyone had to go to their own home. That meant Mary and Joseph had to go to Bethlehem. It wasn't like they were reading the scrolls, and after they had the visit by the angel, that Joseph said, well, I guess we need to get up and get to Jerusalem because that's where he's supposed to be born. It's amazing how God works. And he works the same way in your life and in my life. He works in the lives of all believers that way. And that's why we have to be consistent. And we have to be confident that his word is working even when it doesn't match our plans. It wasn't Mary's plan. And yet the angel comes and says, Mary, God has found favor with you. You're pregnant. What kind of favor is that? Because the first thought in her mind had to be Joseph, had to be her family. But God knows who to pick. Now, I'm talking to some of you now who wonders why he picked you, and you seem to be going through hell right now. God knows who to pick. He knows who to pick. He picked Mary because at the end of it all, Mary just had one response. According to your word, be it unto me. There was something in Mary that kept her in a place, even though you have to think that, listen, emotionally she had to be a wreck. You ever have yourself in a situation where you have to navigate through your feelings of a situation that you can't explain? And you wish that you could? That's when you've got to be confident in God's word. That's when you've got to be consistent. And that's when you've got to be courageous. Instead of backing up and backing down, and you heard a word from God, and you knew it was God, but when things start going another direction, and it's looking crazy and got you looking crazy, now you want to back out? No. No, he takes no pleasure in those who withdraw, those who draw back. But she had to be in a wreck about it. And then Joseph has to deal with his own self about it. I envision those things and I write in some of my lyrics about them. And I imagine that Mary is struggling. I can imagine Mary saying, some laughed when they heard the news. Others whispered lies. I must admit I was confused, but most of all surprised. It's far beyond all reason what you have planned for me. The greatest gift to all mankind now lives inside of me. Be it unto me according to your word. Be it unto me. Every word I've heard. Though some may choose to doubt you while others refuse to believe, according to your word, be it unto me. Then there's Joseph in his mind. They said to put her away. This is all contrived. You said, still take her as my bride. Even though I still wonder, it's hard to understand how I could be a part of your redemptive plan. Be it unto me according to your word. Be it unto me everything I've heard. Though some may choose to doubt you while others refuse to believe according to your word, Lord, be it unto me. If you're going to walk confidently, consistently, and courageously in kingdom authority, one of the things that you're really, 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 really going to have to settle is that your peace, your strength must come from God. Your confidence must come from God. If you're going to be confident, remain consistent, and when need be courageous, you're going to need that eternal perspective. You see, an eternal perspective will always balance and recalibrate the internal and sometimes unfounded thoughts and premature conclusions of an external observation or situation. Now, I know that's a lot, so I'm going to leave that up here for just a minute. I need you just to look at it, read it a few times, and think about it. An eternal perspective, a kingdom perspective, will always balance and recalibrate the internal and sometimes unfounded thoughts and premature conclusion of an external observation or situation. More plainly said, it will help you with what you see that you don't understand, that you're trying to make sense of, and that you are trying to bring conclusion to prematurely. Can you wait on God to make it clear? Or do you need to try to fix it and make it clear for yourself? Walking confidently, consistently, and courageously in kingdom authority, I want you to know that it means God will bring some things back to you, even in another season of your life. I want to say to many of you under the sound of my voice and those that are watching by way of live stream, that's what he's doing right now. You may be in a season of your life where it feels like, man, things have really shifted. Trust God in it. Trust God in it. Trust God in it. You need courage to try again. You need courage to try again. We used to have a statement on our wall in our previous locations. Dare to believe one more time. Dare to believe one more time. Just because it doesn't work in one season doesn't mean it's not supposed to work. Just because it doesn't work in one way doesn't mean it's not God. I'm talking to some of you now, courage to try again. And the example that I want to speak from has to do with Caleb. For those of you that think you are past the age. It's in Joshua chapter 14, and I want to read this, and then I want to just share a few points with you, and then we're going to begin to end out our time. Pastor George, I'm going to ask you to lead us in our giving this morning. Would you be prepared to do that? I can't see you back there, can you? All right. He's like, okay. Praise God. Joshua 14, verse 6, it says, "Then the sons of Judah drew near to Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, 'You know the word.'" Ah, there you go. "There you know the word which the Lord spoke to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea." He said, "You know the word. My word will go forth, not return to me void, but accomplish that which I please and prosper, succeed in the thing in which I have sent it." He's saying to Joshua, "You know the word." He says, "I was 45 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word." I brought back word. I brought back word. I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Now, let's just pause right there. Glory. You see, it's not the word in your head that's going to work. It's the word in your heart. That's why when it talks about the sower of the seed and how it falls on stony ground hold on. Thank you, Lord. I'm trying to move through this somewhat quickly, and I hear Holy Ghost. Well, thank you for that, Tamara. I'll take that along with the Holy Ghost. She said, "Take your time." Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's go to this. Let's see. See, that's when you play softly behind me while I'm. No, I'm just. I don't want to miss this. I feel like there's something here for us all to capture. So just give me a second. I want to get to the right place. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I just want to find the right one. Glory. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's see. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Pastor Jeff, I'm going to Matthew Matthew chapter 13. And thank you for those of you who are praying in the spirit. I'm like, I hear you. It's like, help him, Jesus. Help him, Jesus. Help him, Jesus. I got it. But that's good. That's good. That's good. That's good. That's good. Jesus shares the principle or the parable of the sower, but then he goes back to explain it. And so in Matthew 13, starting at verse 18, it says, "Hear then the parable of the sower. When someone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one of whom seed has sown beside the road. The one of whom seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. And the one of whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful." Then he says this, "The one on whom seed was sown on good soil, this is the man who hears the word, understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100, some 60, and some 30-fold." Meaning that that soil has to do with the heart. That soil has to do with the heart. I want you to understand that one of the reasons we spend the time that we spend in worship is that we are trying to, if you will, cultivate our hearts so that we can break up any fallow ground so that then we can hear the word and receive the word. Does that make sense to you? And so going back now to Joshua, Caleb is making it clear. Verse 8, "Nevertheless, my brethren who went out with me," no, let me go back, "I was 40 years old," verse 7, "when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought word back to him as it was in my heart." Meaning, he received that word, and he hid that word in his heart. Know that that word stayed there for 40 years. For 40 years, he held on, hid that word in his heart. Verse 8 says, "Nevertheless, my brethren who went out with me made the heart of the people melt with fear. But I followed the Lord, my God, fully. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land on which your foot has trodden will be your inheritance, and to you and to your children forever, because you have followed the Lord, my God, fully." I want you to recognize that the word that you've received as you live it out becomes an inheritance, if you will, to future generations, be it biological or otherwise. "Now behold, the Lord has let me live just as he spoke, these 45 years, it's 45 years now, from the time that the Lord spoke these words to Moses, when Israel walked into the wilderness, and now behold, I am 85 years old today. I am still as strong today as I was in the day Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so my strength is now for war and for going out and coming in. Now then, give me this hill country about which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day that Anakim were there with great fortified cities. Perhaps The Lord will be with me, and I will drive them out as the Lord has spoken, as the Lord has spoken, as he said it, as he spoke his word. Caleb landed in that place 45 years later and said, if he said it back then, it's good today. Caleb held on to what he saw and what God said. Caleb was ready to try again. I'm simply saying to many of you under the sound of my voice, and for some of you that are watching by way of live stream, life takes many turns. Life takes many courses. But in all of it, God is watching over his word. He is watching over his word. He is watching over the word that he's placed in you. And you can be assured of this, that if it is a word that is to come forth through you in your generation, all you have to do is say, God, I'm ready. God, I'm ready. Come on, just practice. Say it, God, I'm ready. Come on, say, God, I'm ready. Caleb said, I'm ready. It's 45 years later, but I'm ready. I'm just as strong today as I was then. So closing. Did I say closing? As I begin... Three things that worked in Caleb's favor: perspective, his attitude, and his position. His perspective. You see, it's the same for you and I, how you view the situation, how you see it, what you say about it, and what is your internal conclusion about it. One author in her writing, Brené Brown, I believe that's her name. In her writing, she says, we like to make certain things certain. It's hard to live in uncertainty, except that your certainty is found in God first. You can be in situations that are shaking as long as you know you're a part of an unshakable kingdom. What Caleb had in his favor was his perspective. His perspective on God. His perspective on God fulfilling his word. How you see it, what you say about it, has everything to do with the conclusion of the matter. Or you have to be open to not concluding something prematurely. Say perspective. Come on, say how I see it. Say my paradigm. His perspective was one, is that God can still do this. Secondly, was his attitude. Say his attitude. Attitude. What you think about your situation. Do you think positive or do you think negatively? Do you think positively or do you think negatively about it? Are you one that the glass is half empty? Do you live out of that space or is the glass half full? That really has to do with attitude. It has to do with perspective. Very recently, we were traveling, and we were in the airport, and there was a line that was waiting for some Annie's Pretzels. I think that's the name of the company. And they weren't ready yet. They were still in the oven. And so a lady was standing there, and Pastor Marisa was standing there just waiting. I went over to say something to Pastor Marisa about our flights. And I just stayed to come. I said, man, that means they're going to be really fresh. Right. Like that. And the lady said, I'm trying to think how she said it. She said, well, I guess you're right. That's the glass half full. Because she's standing there thinking how long it's taken. I'm thinking how fresh they're going to be. Attitude, his attitude is what allowed him to walk confidently, consistently, and courageously in what he had heard. Because you see, wrong attitude can stop the blessings of God from flowing. Look at somebody say, what's your attitude? Your wrong attitude. Sometimes you wonder why it's not working for you. Check your attitude. And then there's his position. The posture. What stance do you take in the situation? Is the stance that you take in faith or is it in fear? Is it in victory or is it in defeat? Is it on the offense or is it on the defense? These are the three things that worked in Caleb's favor that I believe work in ours as well. And I need to encourage many of you and those that are watching by way of Facebook that in this season, as you're still navigating through, as we all are still navigating through the word and words of God being fulfilled in our lives, that we would maintain this place of the proper perspective, the proper attitude, and the proper position. The perspective that says, God is in charge, and all of this is working out. All of this is going to work for good. I must stay the course. That our attitude is one. That my thoughts will always be the positive and not the negative. That's not just concerning purpose and destiny, hear me. That's concerning people as well. Yes, well now, you want to think good of all the way that you want to be thought good of. Wrong attitude can stop the blessings coming to you because you got an attitude about somebody who God wants to use to bless you. His position, his stance, he stood on God's word. He stayed right there with the word of God. And lastly, this thought. If you forget the ultimate, you will be enslaved by the immediate. If you lose sight of the ultimate, you will be enslaved by the immediate. Walking confidently, consistently, and courageously in kingdom authority is something that's needed right now. It's needed right now. That passage out of Hebrews is a familiar passage of Scripture. Seeing we are compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses. You know it. Let us lay aside every weight. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. If you lose sight of the ultimate, you'll be enslaved by the immediate. You'll think this is all there is. I speak to many of you in this season because God is stirring some things. And he's going to begin to stir some things in you. He's going to begin to help you recognize that while your life is in the place that it's in, what he has shown you, he is still purposed to bring it to pass. Amen. I want to say to many of you that are listening to me, you don't have to try to figure that out. You simply need to say yes and amen, as Caleb did 45 years later. I got a word, I heard a word, and it seems like life has tried to cover that word up. But it's like God is sending angels to unearth it again. And I'm realizing that I'm seeing glimpses of something that I saw. I'm seeing glimpses of myself, who he created me to be. And he's inviting me to step into it again. And all I need to do is say yes and amen. And all I have to do is walk in confidence, be consistent, and be courageous. And he will bring it to pass.